All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. If you're unsure, if you don't have a Bible, hopefully there's one in front of you. We call them pew Bibles. There should be some maybe in the hymn book holder. They're black and sitting there, and it'll be the first book in the Bible there, the book of Genesis chapter 4. And a lot through the summer, we're going to be looking at a topic, and you'll see why we're choosing Genesis chapter 4 in just a moment. Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 25, this may seem odd, but you'll understand as we get into the message. And then Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So we know the story of Cain and Abel. And Abel was killed by the son Cain, and Cain had kind of chosen a different direction. And God blessed Eve with another son named Seth. And then in verse 26, and it says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. All right, and this is the phrase that we're looking at. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Looking at that phrase at the end of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. There's debate on this as far as commentators, because this is about 235 years into civilization. All right, now you may think differently as far as civilization. I'm considered old school, and in theology, I'm fundamental as far as theology. And in theology, I agree with the Bible in regards to creation. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. I actually believe in a young earth. Some people believe in an earth that is millions and millions and millions of years old. And what's interesting, those of you that went to school many, many years ago, let's say that you went to school 50 years ago, you know that the earth at that time was millions of years old. Now it is billions of years old. It seems like the way to solve things is just add a couple more zeros. Well, in the biblical perspective, those that have studied the Bible in a specific historical context, the Bible indicates that there is a young earth, all right? It's not an old earth, and there's a lot of science to prove it. But that's not what we're trying to get into, okay, as far as through the summer. What we're going to look at specifically is the end of verse 26. It says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And this is what the commentators debate. They say, all right, so for 235 years, nobody called upon the name of the Lord. Nobody prayed. Well, I don't think it's necessarily that nobody prayed, but I think at this time in history, things started to split in a decision-making, and we see that with Cain and Abel. We see in the life of Cain and Abel that Cain chose not to follow God's way. Abel chose to follow God's way. So I think there was a decision made at this 235-year point of history as far as mankind. And some decided we're not following God, and some said that we are gonna call upon the name of the Lord. So what are we gonna look at through the summer? Through the summer, we're gonna look at the concept of prayer. Calling upon the name of the Lord means to pray. And so through the summer, we're going to look at it a little bit differently. Sometimes people do a study, a topical study, and they study, I would say, the topic of prayer, and they look at verses specifically on prayer, and they give you a lot of thinking on it. What we're going to do through the summer is we're going to look at the prayers of the Bible specifically. There are a lot of prayers that were made, and so in the month of June, we're going to be looking at some of the Old Testament prayers. We may go into some of July and then into August a little bit, but we're going to look at some of the prayers in the Old Testament and study them and see if we can find out, why did these people pray these prayers? For instance, in the Old Testament, you have Abraham's prayer. All right, there's a couple of famous prayers by Abraham, by Jacob. There's also a well-known, it became kind of popular about 10 or 15 years ago, and there's books out, devotional booklets, and it's called the Prayer of Jabez. What in the world is that? All right, so we're going to look at some of those prayers. But then you go to the New Testament, and you even have Christ that prayed some. And you see that Christ, in fact, the model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model, I believe, as I have studied it. I believe that the Lord's Prayer is a model for us to mirror different aspects of our prayer life to help us out. It doesn't mean that I have to pray it. Right, there are some religions that teach this prayer, and they just it's almost like a repetition. Well, the Bible says that we are not supposed to have in our prayers, guess what? Jesus said this, vain repetition. So saying something over and over and over like a chant, that doesn't offer me some mystical help. All right, that's not what prayer is. So by looking at the specific prayers in the Bible, hopefully it'll help us to be better people of prayer. The Bible wants us to be prayer warriors, to be people of prayer. And especially as a church, we should be able to understand prayer more. Why? Because prayer is communication with God. And it's an amazing blessing that we get. We get to talk to the maker of the universe. We get to speak with him one-on-one. And the Bible indicates that he wants to hear us. That's an amazing thing. One person looked at it this way. There is a new Norwegian theologian, and he gave one of the simplest definitions of prayer. He said, to pray is nothing more involved than to let Jesus into our needs. To pray is to give Jesus permission to employ his powers in the alleviation of our distress. That's some of what prayer is. It's allowing God into our life and asking him to help out. And guess what we're asking? We're asking someone who has all power, all knowledge, is everywhere at all time, and letting him come in to help us. That's an amazing thing as a Christian that we're allowed to do. Someone who has professed to have counted all the promises in the Bible said that there's over 30,000 promises in the Bible. Among the most precious are the promises that God will hear and answer prayer. The expression of prayer, hearing, and answering God is one of the best phrases, one of the best promises I think that we can ever gain from the Word of God. That God is a prayer hearing and answering God. If you ask great Christians of the past, what did they say about prayer? You may not know some of these people, but you can jot them down and look them up. But there was a man named Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China. He said this, Hudson Taylor called it prayer is transacting business with God. Jonathan Edwards, great revivalist here in America in the 1700s, spoke of storming heaven with prayer. Charles Finney said, be full of prayer whenever you attempt to preach. E.M. Bounds wrote many volumes on prayer. You can look them up and read books by E.M. Bounds on prayer. And E.M. Bounds wrote this, we can curtail our praying and not realize the peril until the foundations are gone. Hurried devotions each week make weak faith, feeble conviction, questionable piety. To be little with God is to do little for God. That was Ian Bounds. A.C. Dixon was a preacher, and he expressed, and the preacher of the past, and he expressed the need for prayer by saying this, when we depend upon our money, our teaching, our education, our preaching, we get what these can do. But when we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. Charles Finney he was a revivalist. And many, and I don't agree with all the antics of Charles Finney, but this is one thing that I know about Charles Finney. He believed in prayer and he believed in the power of God. And Charles Finney, when he would go into a town, he would bring men with him, along with, not to set up, not to go out and door knock. Guess what Charles Finney, he would bring dozens and dozens of men with him to just pray for the meetings. That's it. To just pray with him and for the meetings. He was thoroughly persuaded that prayer was necessary. The songwriter George Atkins wrote it thus: "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach God's word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around." The Bible indicates here in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26 that there came a time when Seth had a son. His name was Enos. Now, this is not the same. If you go to Genesis chapter 5, you're there in 4. So in Genesis chapter 5, you have the genealogies. And in the genealogies, you come down to verse 8 and verse 9. And there you see the man Seth, and then you see Enos. This is not the same man, Enoch. That is a little bit later. That's in verse 21. So you're not thinking of the same person if you're thinking in your mind Enoch. Now, Enoch, we know, was a little bit later, and Enoch was known as somebody that did what? Walked with God. And I think Enoch learned to walk with God because there was a group of people earlier that, guess what they decided? In chapter 4 and verse 26, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Some people indicate, as far as the verbiage here, this means that not only did they call upon the name of the Lord, but they wanted to be associated with God. They wanted to be known as people of the Lord. What is that opposed to? As opposed to just people of this earth, or people that just were on their own? There was a group of people that said, "Wait a minute. You know what? I don't know the direction of these folks. It seems like they're wanting to get away from God." And they decided and said, "Wait a minute. We are going to be a people that are known for calling upon the name of the Lord." That's what I believe our church should be known for. Our church, it doesn't matter what society is heading, which direction they're heading. And I can tell you this, in our society, that it's even today, there's a young man that's graduating from high school. And his high school graduation is, guess what? Today, on Sunday. It saddens me. It saddens me that they pick a day that is dedicated to worshiping the Lord. The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day should be set aside. And in our society, guess what? The weekend is everything. It's, "Hey man, I can't wait for the weekend." And it's not because they're going to get to church. It's not because they're going to go and try to lift up the name of the Savior. It's so that I can get away and I can have a time of refreshment and relaxation. I can have my time because I work all week and I live for the weekend, not to give praise to the Lord. You see, Sunday, it used to be Sunday was the Lord's Day. In fact, you used to have, I think it was called Blue Days, or a blue, you guys can remember that. Remember, Sundays used to be set aside, and you could go into town and there wasn't any stores open. Right. And people would gripe and like, "Oh, why aren't there stores?" Well, because you know what? Sunday, the Lord's Day. You can't go shopping on Saturday. Are you that bad at planning that you're like, "Oh, we got to eat today"? Well, you didn't know that yesterday, but it was nice. It was kind of a nice thing in our society that there was a day that was just dedicated to the Lord. And so it doesn't matter that a society has gone away from that. As a church, we can say, you know what? It doesn't matter what society is doing. As a church, let's decide like these people. "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." We just want to look at a couple of ideas that come out of this as we start this concept of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before Scripture. It's sovereign, it's holy, and you have given it to us to teach us. And I pray as we look at Scripture this morning that you would convict us in this area of prayer. You would help us to understand that it is very important, that in our daily walk with you, prayer is a vital piece of our communion and our fellowship with you. I pray that, Lord, as always, you would do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in this passage, then we see that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So as we begin, there's just a quick thought as we begin. You're going to see that prayer is a decision. It's a decision. There's a lot of things, and we're in a door-knocking campaign. We're trying to knock on a bunch of doors. You know what? I can knock on a bunch of doors. But you know what's hard? All right, just like I'm asking on Thursday, set aside some time. You know what you're going to find? You're going to have a whole bunch of other things that are going to fill up your time when you decide to pray. You will. I challenge you. Set an hour aside. You're going to see that that's the longest hour you've ever had in your life. You're going to be like, oh, I've just been praying 4 minutes. All right, and then you start praying again, and you're going to think that days have went by. And you're going to look down and you're like, oh, it's just been 7 minutes. You know what? Prayer is hard. But you have to decide to do it. It's not just going to happen naturally. Did you notice that they decided? They said, as men, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord. And you have to make it a decision in your life to make prayer important. Because a lot of other things will take precedence. You say, well, you don't understand. I got to work. I understand you have to work. But your soul is very important. You know, the Bible says that we have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And there's a lot of people in this life and in this world that they are choosing to do a lot of things except to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And yet, in this life, they say, well, I've got to live, I've got to make it. I understand that. But in the next life, you have to live and you have to make it. And you can't on your own. You cannot make it on your own. You have to trust in a Savior. You have to call upon Jesus Christ. And that is one prayer that you must all of us must do. There is one prayer that God listens to from a sinner. Now, some people, and you may not like this, but again, we're going from the Bible, and I could show you from the Bible, God does not listen to the unsaved, just so you know that. There are some people that say, we're all God's children. We're all God's creation. All right, we're all God's creation, but the Bible tells us, all right, and this is shown to us that when Adam sinned, all of us sinned, and that's found in the book of Romans. When Adam sinned, all of us sinned, and then we are offspring from Adam, and basically we are children of Adam, and Adam decided to reject Jesus Christ, and so as a human race, we are estranged from God. So you could say, well, wait, wasn't Adam created by God? So in that case, yes, we are God's children. But we are in Adam, estranged from God. So God does not listen to us. You may not like that, but that's the Bible. God does not listen to us. What he did is he sent his son to restore a relationship, because God's desire is to have a relationship with you and I. So how do I restore that relationship? There's one prayer that God hears from everybody. And that is a prayer of salvation. And you can call out to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I know that, and the Bible tells us all have sinned. And so because of that, I'm estranged from God. But when I bow before him humbly and I call out to God, God says he hears that sinner's prayer. He hears it. And I can be saved. Then God wants to develop a relationship with us. So how does that happen? All right, it's a decision that we must make. That's what we see, first of all. And then, just kind of springboarding off of this, I just wanted to give a couple ideas about prayer this morning as we're starting out. So why is it important to pray? Here in this passage, you see there's 200, most believe that this is 235 years after Adam is born. So Adam is 235 years old. All right, I know that seems old. All right, I can't imagine being 235 years old. All right, I don't even know. All right, you talk about a wrinkled prune. All right, there'd be some of us, we'd be looking pretty sorry. But we know that they lived a lot longer at that time. Remember, Methuselah was 960-something years old. All right, so we know that they lived a lot longer. So here's 235 years into Adam's life, and now we see that they're calling upon the name of the Lord. So why is it important to pray? So I wanted to think about a couple of things through Scripture. Well, if you're there in Genesis, turn to the next book, and that is Exodus chapter 32. All right, so we're in Genesis. Turn to the next book, that is Exodus, Exodus chapter 32. Why is it important to pray? Well, in Exodus chapter 32, you see that the Moses and God are talking. Moses and God are talking. And in chapter 32 and verse 1, Moses is up getting instructions from God in the mountaintop. And the people are down waiting, and they don't like waiting. And so they get kind of off kilter, and they make Aaron make a golden calf. So then in verse 7, notice what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land. Notice, this is the Lord talking to Moses. Did you notice this? So God is talking to Moses and say, hey, your people are misbehaving. Wait a minute, aren't they your people? All right, so here God is talking to Moses and saying, look at your people that you brought out of Egypt. They're corrupted themselves. They turn aside quickly. And look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So God is angry. All right, so, and you'd say, you know what, this just doesn't seem right. Seems like there's a little temper here. Well, he is God, and he just delivered them out of Egypt, out of bondage. So before you get all pious about it, here, God delivered them, and now they're not thankful. Here, he's trying to help them out by organizing some things. He calls their leader up, and they can't make it 20-something days. They got to build a golden calf. So God says, I'm going to wipe them out. So why is prayer important? Notice in verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot? Wherefore, and look at verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out? Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, thy servant, in verse 13. Look at verse 14. And the Lord repented of the evil. Now, that word repent just means to change your mind. Okay, so what did God do? God changed his mind. Why? Why is prayer important? Because you can change the heart of God. I don't understand it all. I really don't. I was listening to Dr. Vogel. Dr. Vogel last week was preaching through Philippians, and there was a section in his message that he talked about prayer and that it's hard to understand. Remember that? It is. It's hard to understand. I can't explain to you why God, who made us, would listen to us, and we, in effect, can change his mind. But here I have in Scripture what happened. Moses changed the mind of God. Do you know that prayer? You know, there's the little phrase, you might see it on a bookmark, or you may, I haven't really seen it on a bumper sticker because most bumper stickers are completely ridiculous nowadays. right? And most people would probably get shot if they put anything about God on it. But yeah, you've probably seen that prayer changes things. It does. That's where it comes from. In the Bible, that's why we come and we pray to God and we say, God, you know, I get worried about our nation. I do. I get worried. And some of the things that, you know, daily you open up the news or you read something in the news and it's disturbing the things that are brought and lifted up in our society. Godliness is not lifted up. Right? Immorality is basically, that's what's lifted up, and religion and Christianity and godliness is scoffed at. And yet, do we want more moral people in our nation? That's what's ridiculous. Yes, we do. What would happen to a nation that has less moral people? What we got? We have a very wicked nation. So what should I do? As a people, let's determine to call upon the name of the Lord. Why? Why is it important? Because prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart of God. And also, you can see this in Luke chapter 11. All right, Luke chapter 11. Why is prayer important? Why is prayer important? And as a church, that's why we pray. On Thursday night, we split up into prayer meetings or prayer groups. All right, every once in a while, we come together and we pray together. All right, it should be that in your home, there should be times of prayer. All right, it should be even when you're out to eat. Now, some people, I've had this happen to me. I've had it happen to me when I'm out to eat and we stop as a family and we pray, they just stop. And more so, even the waitresses or waiters or whatever, they don't even know what to do. They're just kind of staring at you. All right, and I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm not praying to Allah here. Right? This is kind of a normal thing that I'm asking the Lord or thanking the Lord for the food and I'm asking Him to bless it. Is that so hard? You've never heard of that? But a lot of people haven't. They're just like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm casting a spell over my food. All right, but this is the other reason. Notice in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying. So who is as he? Who is this person? This is Jesus. As Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, notice what he said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why should we pray? There's a reason for public prayer. One of the reasons that we pray even publicly is because it causes others to want to pray. That's why we have a prayer time on Thursday nights. That's why even we announced it on Saturday nights. We meet as men. And what do? We pray. Because one of the things that public prayer does is it challenges me to go home and pray a little more. Prayer can bring conviction. Did you know that? It can bring conviction. That's what I think happened when Jesus was praying. I would have loved to have been someone that would have heard Jesus pray. That'd have been neat. But we have it recorded for us. And I can read how Jesus prayed. And you know what that should do? As you pray, and that should be even in your house, in your home, at a church setting, it should be that as we pray, we say, man, I've heard some people pray and I thought, man, Lord, I love how they talk to God. It just seems like he's really personal to them. It seems like they really have a grasp of what God can do. It seems like, man, they just boldly come out and ask things of God. That's why we publicly pray. Why do we publicly pray? Because it brings conviction. It makes us say, man, I need more of that. And in your area. All right, maybe it's someone at work. Maybe this is something you can do. Maybe you could say, hey, brother, I know you may not like me that much, but you mind if I pray for you this week? I've done that. I've done that, actually, with politicians. Met with some politicians and actually the governor. That was last year. I was meeting with him, and I came in. He's like, what do you want? I was like, nothing. He goes, you don't want anything? I said, no. I said, but I'd like to pray with you. He said, really? I said, yeah. And I got up to leave. And you know what he told me? He stopped me. He says, could you pray for my wife too? You know why? Because they start seeing that this person talks to God. Now, what they should understand is, and this is what amazes me as Christians, all of us can. All of us can talk to God. But the Bible tells us there can be some things that hinder me from talking to God. And that's why we need to have a clean relationship. No, biblically speaking, there's fellowship and relationship when you're talking about Bible. Relationship means kind of in a family setting. So what do we mean by relationship? A relationship means that, let's say, I accept Jesus Christ, and my relationship was that I was not a child of God. I was a child of the devil. That's, again, a biblical term. So as a child of the devil, I accept Jesus Christ, and the Bible says I'm adopted. That's the word adoption. That's found in the Pauline epistles. And I'm adopted into God's family. So now I am, the Bible says, I am an inheritor of godliness. I'm an inheritor of godly things. I am now God's son. So that relationship. So now I am God's child. I trusted Jesus Christ 40 years ago. So I am God's child, and I will never lose that relationship. Do we understand? So that's relationship. So another word in the Bible is fellowship. So let me ask you that are sons and daughters. Are there times that you never lose the relationship, but you lose the fellowship? Yeah. You know that. There are times you don't want to go to dad or mom and ask for the $5. Why? Because you need a beat down. That's what you need. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you've just been over there being a knucklehead, all right, irritating the whole family, and then you're like, hey, dad, hey, want to go get some ice cream? You know what? You don't need ice cream. You don't need ice cream, son. This is what you need. And he gives you a little instruction, a little help. Why? Because the relationship wasn't different. I'm never going to lose the relationship. But the fellowship can be broken, can it? That's why prayer is very important. Why is it important? It moves the heart of God. When I see prayer done, or when we engage in prayer, it brings conviction to those around us. The Bible also says this: when I pray, it brings me nearer to the heart of God. You'd say, how is that? Well, in Psalm 51, I don't have it marked down, but Psalm 51 is a psalm between David and God, and it was after David's sin. But David, guess what he did? He prayed, and what happened? Sin was exposed to him. So as I get closer to God through prayer, guess what happens? Sin in my life gets exposed. That could be why some of you don't want to pray. You know what happens to me often? I have my own agenda when I come to talking to God. I have a list of prayer needs, prayer wants, prayer whatever. I have a whole list of things, and God's like, oop. Like, hey, got some things to talk. God's like, no. I want to talk to you. Because what about this and this? Like, oh, just a minute. Time out. But guess what? God has an agenda when he talks to me too, through his word and prayer. That's what it accomplishes, getting my heart clean. It exposes sin. The Bible also says in Psalm 119 that I understand his word through prayer. That's found in Psalm 119. There's a light that comes on when I pray. So why did these people in Genesis chapter 4, remember I said there was a reason we picked Genesis chapter 4? In studying the Bible, there's a term in studying the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. Okay? Most believe that this right here is the first time that prayer is mentioned in the Bible. All right? And so a lot of times then when something is the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, you look at it and say, so why is it? Well, you see, 235 years in, I believe that there was a decision time that had to be made on this earth. There was people that were saying, I'm not listening to God. And you're seeing here that there's a group of people that said, no, we will be people of prayer. Amen. And as a church, as an individual, as families, it doesn't matter what. There's some of you that come in here and your mom and dad, they don't really care about God. I'm sorry, I'm not talking about them. They're not here today. You're here. So will you be a person of prayer? Will you decide that prayer is important? You can't decide. I can't decide for the town of Chesterton. I can't decide for the state of Indiana. I can't decide for America, but I can decide for myself that I will be a person of prayer. So will you decide that? Did you see that it's important? Yeah, it moves the heart of God. It convicts others. It draws me closer to him. And we're not gonna dwell on it long, but let me just quickly then. We said, why should I pray? And why should we say, hey, I'm going to begin to call upon the name of the Lord? In the New Testament, in the life of Christ, you see what happens when prayer is engaged. Did you know that Jesus prayed? It says numerous times that Jesus spent all night in prayer. So what happened when Jesus prayed? Do you know what happened when Jesus prayed? The one time I can remember a maniac, they called him the maniac of Gadara. Jesus prayed and a maniac that was filled, it says that he had a legion of demons. Now a legion, most believe, is at least 1,000. So think about this. Here was a guy possessed with 1,000 devils. And when Christ prayed, he was set free. Do you think that we have that in our society? Oh, I think so. Oh, we're so sophisticated. We don't have the influence of the devil. Have you listened to rock music much? Have you looked out into this world much? Oh, there's an influence of the devil all around. There's an influence of the devil. And guess what? We need prayer. Why? Because when people pray, prisoners are set free. Those shackled in bondage are set free. But not only that, when Jesus prayed, there was one time that there was a good friend of Jesus. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus had died and gone into a tomb, and his two sisters found out that he was in a city nearby, and they sent somebody and said, hey, your friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus waited a little while. And finally he showed up, and the Bible says that Jesus prayed, and guess what happened? Lazarus came forth. You know what happens when you pray? Shackles are loosened. The dead become alive. And it could be in your heart. You've been dead. You've been dead in your spiritual walk. You've been dead in your walk with the Lord and your understanding the things of God. Get to prayer. Because you know what prayer will do? It'll breathe life into your spiritual walk. See, Jesus prayed, and prisoners were set free. The dead was brought to life. There was another time that there was a little boy, and he went off to see Jesus. And there was a whole group of people that came and saw Jesus, and it was waning towards the evening. It was getting dark, and they were out away from their homes, and some of the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Hey, I think we need to let them go." And Jesus said, "You know what? Why don't you get some food and feed these guys?" And they're like, "What in the world?" And they counted. There was over 5,000 men there. And the little lad had a lunch, and he gave it to Jesus. And guess what you'll find in the passage? Jesus prayed. And Jesus prayed over that food, and 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed, they estimate, over 15,000 people. You know what happens when people pray? Shackles drop off them. The dead come back to life. Multitudes are fed. That all happens because of prayer. So why wouldn't we, as a people, look to Genesis chapter 4 when Enos and their group of people said, "We're going to begin to call upon the name of the Lord"? Why won't you decide that? One here this morning, you may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My challenge to you is begin today during the invitation time and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. As a Christian here, that maybe you've stepped away and your prayer life is weak, you're seeing it's important. You're seeing that it makes a difference. Then why not begin to call upon the name of the Lord? In Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll close with this passage. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, the Bible tells us about an armor that we're supposed to put on. It says in Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." But then it goes down and it goes through a whole bunch of things. It gives us the whole armament that we're supposed to put on. But then in verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So it goes through and it says, hey, put on the whole armor, suit up every day. And then it says, take the word of God, that's the sword of Spirit, and praying always. And then there's a word and two words. It says watching thereunto. That word watching thereunto means literally sleeplessness. Watching thereunto, it's saying prayer is so important that we should be sleepless in our determination to have prayer in our life. That's what that's saying. It's saying it's so important that even sleep is less important than prayer in our life. That's how much prayer. And that's why, you know what you find Jesus doing a couple times? It says it. Look it up. If you have a little concordance, a lot of times you can do that just on the internet. You can download Bible apps, and just type in all night in prayer or all night and look in the Gospels. You're going to see a couple times that Jesus spent all night in prayer. And you're going to find normally it was before a very important decision that he had to make. So I ask you, is prayer important? Elisha prayed and life came back to a dead child. Manasseh, the king, was a wicked man who had done everything against God. If you look up King Manasseh, he was one of the worst kings that was ever over Israel. Yet when King Manasseh called upon God, God heard his cry. Samson, who had the power of the Spirit of God upon him. And Samson, most of us have read the stories in the book of Judges, and we read of all his exploits. And man, we're like, man, that guy, he had power, but he lost the power of God. He fulfilled his lust. But guess what happened to Samson? at the end of his life, he prayed unto God and said, God, just one more time. And all of us know it. What happened? God heard him. God's merciful. He'll hear your prayer. God will hear your prayer. We never read that Joshua's hand was weary with wielding the sword. But we read that these men were wearied in the battle. The one man, Moses, was wearied with holding the rod, which represented, I believe, the rod of prayer and might. He was supposed to lift up his hands. It represented prayer. And guess what happened? His hands got tired and weary. And Moses had to come, Joshua and another man had to come alongside and hold up his arms, because this is what you'll find. When it comes to prayer, it'll wear you out. You'll get weary. So what do we have to do? Determine and decide that I will pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. We're starting out thinking about prayer. We're going to look at different prayers today.